Father, we are grateful again that we get to hear what you say. Father, may it change us from the inside. Father, what we believe about you and about who you say we are. Father, about this world and what it's going on through it. Father, help us to understand better by your truth so that we can have peace. Not only just with the world around us, but understanding the peace that we have through you by your Son. That we are now yours. So, Father, I pray that you would just, through this time, through Tim, by your Spirit, that, Father, you would continue to use him as you have this week to prepare, to also deliver, Father, what he has received from you, that we might hear it and believe, that we might know how much you are for us, how much you love us, and may it cause us to worship. May it cause us to fall at your feet, knowing that you are the one true God. That there is none other. So we'll trust you with that, believing you are doing this in us and through us. It's in your Son's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be in verse 11 through 21. 11 through 21. I'm going to read it in its entirety. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." May the Lord bless his word. We start in this section talking about darkness. Darkness is not something that we use that term very often. We talk about where people are struggling or there's sin, but actually saying that the world is a dark place isn't something that we spend a lot of time thinking on. Yet, when we look around and we look at the news or the television or what is on television even today, or at the sins of those around us, it is a dark place. There is darkness. We are living in a world filled with darkness. There's no denying it. From our littlest ones of our church to the oldest ones of our church, there's darkness all around all of them. It is very difficult to navigate, and we have a great warning from Paul here. I feel like he's saying, the world is dark. Would you wake up? Would you look at it? Would you examine what's going on around you? Would you examine even what's going on in your own life? And so he comes in, he starts by saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And he says, but instead expose them. Now, some of us can say, is that I need to be one who is quick to repent of my own sin. When I see errors in my life, do I need to expose those things and I need to run to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and repent of my sin? And maybe it may be that there's so extreme of a pattern of sin in my life that I need to go find someone to hold me accountable. Is he saying that? I think yes. And I think he's talking about the actual darkness that isn't in our life, but that's in this world as well. Should we expose the misdeeds or the unfruitful works of darkness around us? He's also saying to expose, because he says expose them. He could be talking about the unfruitful works, or he could be talking about those who do the unfruitful works. And I don't want us to have the idea that that's just those people outside the church, because we too have deep-rooted sin in our life. And we do need to expose those things. We do need to wake up, and we do need to examine ourselves. But at the same point, we need to be the voice of God, of the light, to be able to shine into that darkness. the dark world. Take no part in, says, have no fellowship with the perverse and crooked generation. Take no part. Take no part. The Bible is very clear. It says we are to put our sin to death. We are to put off the sin, put on the Spirit. This isn't we carry it along on a leash because we can control this. We don't play around with sin. Have no fellowship with the perverse and crooked generation. Give no consent, advice, application, or assistance to darkness. It says rather reprove them, expose them to the light. So you're saying, well, Tim, I don't know that's my job. Like, I've got enough things going on in my life that are difficult and hard, and darkness keeps on trying to creep. Like, that's already here. Yet, he's saying, take no part in that, and instead expose them. Reprove them. Expose them to the light. What is the light? Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And he shines into the darkness. And he changes it, just like he did for us. If you're in Christ, he did for you. In a minute, I'm going to challenge that, and I'm going to come to a part in the sermon where I say, maybe you need to check out to make sure you're in Christ. Examine yourselves to be sure you're in the faith. So this darkness is out there. We live among it. We live in it. We live around it. Let's not be a part of it. Let's not have fellowship with that darkness. Let's run from it. Let's put the sin to death, and let's expose that darkness to light of Jesus. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we are to expose the darkness, it's not with unique slogans or words or phrases. It's not because you're more powerful. It's because you have the word of God. It is the light unto the path. It is the lamp unto my feet. It's for what guides me to that next step. But it's also what can shine into the darkness and bring light to the lost. 2 Timothy, I'm going to read from this section. This is chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And it fits so well with the text here in Ephesians. This is, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, he's Paul speaking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. He's talking about the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He didn't say your words. He didn't say you can convince. He said all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What's the culture he's living in? Darkness, just like he's talking about in Ephesians. Evil men going from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, he's saying, my son in the faith, as for you, fellow believers, we don't have to live that way. We have the word of God. We have the light that has shined into our hearts and changed us. We can live differently than this world. Might we not have fellowship with the darkness? Might we not take part in the unfruitful deeds of darkness? Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 5. He follows it up with, not only should we not take part, but should expose it to the light. But here he says, for it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret. It's even shameful even to not taking part, not championing, not saying yes. He said, even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So even if they or we can hide our misdeeds, the unfruitful deeds of darkness, realize that even if we can hide it well, even if we do it in secret, nothing is hidden from God. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in their life. And he is the solution. He is the light. The solution to the darkness is light. Micah 7, 8, and 9. So rejoice not over me, O my enemy, when I fall. I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. The light shines into the darkness and changes it. Jesus shines into our life and changes us. Jesus can shine into the light of those who are still in darkness, and he can change them. What's our role? To expose them to the light by his word. That we can show them, we can shine light into that darkness, and they can see who Jesus is and what he has done for them. It continues on this theme of the light. So I'm going to do a little bit more. John 8, 12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Doesn't mean that you're not sin. But that action of continuing to sin outside of repentance. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Psalm 119, 130. He says, the psalmist says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Kind of sounds like he's saying that this isn't just for us to enjoy his light, but that we are to proclaim the light to those who are in darkness. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, this is Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Matthew 5, 14, 16 says it very well. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He starts by saying, this world is dark. Take no part in that. Rather, expose it to the light. And he says, they do such terrible things that it's unspeakable. Don't even speak about those things. It's not that our strategy is really find out what kind of darkness they're in. Our strategy is really know what kind of light we're in and take the light of the world into that darkness. That we would proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into light. That we would not be a lamp under a basket. We would let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who's in heaven. Exposing them isn't simply the sin. It's exposing those who are in darkness to the light of the world. He's empowered us to do so. He gives us the word that gives us everything we need to be equipped to do so. And he gives us the words to use to do so. He goes on, verse 14b. It says, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. He's quoting from Isaiah. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Often we see in Scripture where they will say that they have fallen asleep, meaning that they actually died. But at times, it literally is just someone is asleep and not paying attention. Anybody experience that? Here he's saying, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The message to us is awake. There's a darkness around us. There's a darkness we live among. This world is a dark place. We need to be awake. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to repent quickly, but we need to be ready to take that light that has changed our life into that darkness, that they might awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead and have Christ shine on them. Ephesians 2, verses 1, then I'm going to skip to 4 and 5. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. What can a dead man do? Dead man can do nothing. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then in verse 4, he comes in this beautiful picture. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is something to glory in. Amazing grace that we were in darkness, and he has brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through the life, death, burial, resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Because we were found together, alive together with Christ. By his grace, you've been saved. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is what we who are in Christ have experienced already. If you're in this room and you have not experienced that, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead to prove that he was the Son of God and rise victorious over death and the grave for you. He paid the debt of your sin on that cross so that you could gain the inheritance he earned with his life. He died that we might live and live for him. If that is you, celebrate it. If that is not yet you, today could be the day of your salvation. Arise, awake, O sleeper, from the dead. Repent and believe in Christ, and he will shine on you. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5. One big message of this section is the world is dark, awake. The other one is examine. Here he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. We must expose to the light our own life. God, is there in me resistance to you? Is there in me a desire for evil so strong that I'd rather have that than have you? We're going to get into some comparisons the rest of this section. That here's what we shouldn't do, rather we should do this. It's all about the Spirit's control in our life. What are we allowing to control us? Is it this darkness of this age, the sin in our own hearts, our own pride? Or is it the Spirit of God working in us as he shines light into our life? Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. It brings things visible. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? For some of us, maybe that made us uncomfortable a little bit. Am I walking? Am I a follower of Christ? Therefore, I'm walking with Jesus. Am I running after Jesus or am I running after this world? I need to examine myself. Number one, to see if I'm even in the faith. Test myself. Am I repenting of sin? Do I love the Lord? Do I love his word? Do I have an attitude that, man, I don't want the sin. I want more of Jesus. Do I love this world or I love his word? What's going on in my heart? And none of us can tell. We can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. But we all need to examine ourselves. Am I walking as wise or unwise? Making best use of the time because the days are evil. Not only are the days evil, but they're short. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. Maybe some of you are saying, Tim, I really like what you're saying, and one day, I'm going to get serious about this. One day, I want to be part of the chosen race, the royal priesthood, those who are on the front lines of ministry, trying to preach the gospel to my lost friends and taking the light of the gospel into the darkness. But I want to do that later in life. Your life is but a vapor. Make the best use of the time that you have, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? What's His will for you? How do you find out? Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you want to know what the will of the Lord is? How do we do that? Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Not a sacrifice to die. There's probably this question has come up to y'all before where, you know, what if you were in a building and someone walked in and said, I'm going to kill somebody, and would you give your life to proclaim that you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, I'm going to kill you. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Someone's heard scenarios like that, right? I just want you to know that saying I'm a Christian and him pulling the trigger would be easy. But day after day, week after week, moment after moment, for the rest of your life, to be a living sacrifice, that's hard. It's not just one moment proclaiming Christ. Day in, day out, every day, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to proclaim the truths of the gospel. I'm going to take the light of the world into the darkness that this world has. Offer your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship isn't just standing up here and singing songs. It's all of life. How you work at your job, how you live in your home, how you treat your family members. All of it is worship. Being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know how that transformation happens? It's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and working in your heart and changing you day by day, each day. We have a men's Bible study, fellowship, prayer time once a month together. And in that time, the question was asked is, when in your life have you felt the most close to God? And some people said, well, it was when life was the most challenging, because I had to depend on Him so much. And where we were getting at with the question and the thoughts was, is it because when things are easy, we don't depend on Him? But only when things are really hard, we really have to go to Him and pray, and God, I really need You to rescue me from this. This is a hardship. This is a difficult time. You got to do it. You got to do it. We plead with Him to go to work, and that's when we feel the closest to Him. Yet I would challenge that I think when we feel the closest to Him is when we're walking with Him. When just the basic disciplines of I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to pray and talk to my Savior and Lord. I'm going to open up His Word and I'm going to read it. And I'm going to do that consistently day after day, which may at times seem mundane. But what's being built is a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's nothing like, in a relationship, massive amounts of communication. That's closeness. Not, oh my gosh, my world's crashing in. Now I need you. That's the ambulance. It's not a relationship. I'm not saying he doesn't show up in the extreme circumstances when you really need him. But he also can show up every morning, every afternoon, every night. As consistently, with discipline, we run to him, to his word, to find out what he wants us to do. In prayer, to open up our hearts to him, what's going on in our lives. The day in, day out of being a living sacrifice and being transformed day in and day out by walking faithfully with the Lord. Verse 18. Here he's going to get on a comparison of the darkness and the light. And he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. He's comparing one, do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Drunkards throw off quickly every restraint of modesty or shame. It leads to licentiousness, which is a license to sin, indecency, and unbridled control. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see the contrast? Being controlled by a substance or being controlled by God. He's comparing the two. One, he's comparing the world of darkness, and one, the world of light. No longer do the misdeeds these things take no part in. I'm going to read a quote by John Calvin in his commentary on the section. Because some of you may think what I just said is do not drink alcohol. That isn't what I just said. I said do not get drunk. Here is what John Calvin says on this. He says, all who have any regard to moderation or decency ought to avoid and abhor drunkenness. What do you think he's saying there? He's saying those who have a regard toward moderation, toward control of certain substances, should avoid and abhor. They should hate drunkards. Why do you think that would be? Because someone would say, well, you're drinking. Aren't you doing the same thing? The person would say, I have made this obedient to a level of moderation that I will not go past. And if the drunkenness didn't take part in these other people, no one would look down on what I'm doing either. Saying if anyone should hate the drunkards, it would be those who have moderation and decency to control. I'm not saying you all should take up drinking. I don't drink, personally. All who have any regard to moderation or decency ought to avoid and abhor drunkenness. The children of this world are accustomed to indulge in deep drinking as an excitement. Okay, realize this was not last year he wrote this. Such carnal excitement is contrasted with that holy joy of which the Spirit of God is the author and which produces entirely opposite effects. Instead of the effects of licentiousness and unbridled control, what are the effects of being controlled by the Spirit? Let's look at verse 19 to 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do we see contrast here? Who does it look like is in control right there? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Shine the light of Jesus into the dark world. Allow the light of Jesus to affect my dark world. Run to his word, run to prayer, have disciplined fellowship with the Lord, as you walk with him. Don't be a light that's hidden under a basket. Let your light so shine among men that they will see your works and will praise your heavenly Father. One, run to this world. Two, run to Jesus. Awake. Examine. Here he says, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, recognize I do not believe there is a denomination that says, because it says make melody with your heart, that you can't use instruments. That's not what it's saying. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Like, what is the content of our conversation with those who are brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it sharing more light? Or is it talking about the darkness that he says, take no part of? Don't even speak about it. Address one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always. How often is that? Always. What if it's a really bad day? What if it's a really tough circumstance? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The contrast of the control of the Spirit is control of the Holy Spirit and his effects upon us. It changes everything. How we speak to one another, how we relate to one another. How do we deal with the darkness around us? He not only brought us into personal relationship with him, where he shined light into our darkness, moved us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, grants us his word to equip us for every good work, sends us out as his laborers to take this light that we now have into the darkness, but then he gives us brothers and sisters to do it with. How much brighter are many lights when they're put together? Addressing one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart, to the Lord with our heart, giving thanks always and for everything. And then he ends by submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What could that be? I get speaking great truths to one another, shining the light of the Lord into my relationships with my fellow brothers. Also, we together being able to do that to this world. But he didn't put our church, he put the light on the city on a hill to shine among the city, among the community, among the world. But yet, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do you think that we're going to have differences? Absolutely. What if we had differences, but instead of being filled with spirit of darkness, we were filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the way we address each other was with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we sang and made melody to the Lord with our heart. We gave thanks always for everything to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think the things that we had problems between one another would be as great? Do you think that confrontation would be as difficult? It wouldn't be very hard to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yet, maybe for some of us it would be. Maybe at times it would be. But it's not out of reverence for the person. Hear that word. Because God made you. And because God chose you to be part of this holy nation, that he's brought us together as a family, out of reverence for him, I can submit to you. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. When we recognize that we are not saved by our works, there's nothing for us to puff our chest out about. We were dead in our trespasses, but God, with the love with which he loved us, saved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses. We have nothing to poke our chests out about. There's no level of pride at the foot of the cross. And if we would walk in the light as he is in the light, if we would walk as wise and not unwise, if we would examine ourselves regularly, and we would quickly run to repentance, we would quickly run to our brothers and address them with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody to our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything. Man, what an amazing fellowship that would be. And submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I think he has shown a great contrast of what the world is like, what he desires his church to be like. Here's the darkness. Here's how you live in the light. Might we be those who proclaim the excellencies of him who has brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into this darkness of this world. And might we do it together. Might we be the church, be the city on a hill, shining the light among the darkness. Might we humble ourselves, confess where we need to confess, repent where we need to repent, but cling to the grace of God together as his body, shining forth him, the light of the world, into the great darkness in front of us. I want to pray. Then we can celebrate through singing. And then we're going to come a time where we're going to hear about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to be asked to examine ourselves. And when we're asked to examine ourselves before we come forward, would we examine ourselves? Both in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And would we be the light of the world shining forth into that darkness in this city, in our homes, in our jobs, in our community, into the world? Let's pray. God, we come before you now. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful that although this world goes from bad to worse,